Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let us remain standing as we open our Bibles this evening to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto a country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the house from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, and for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go to draw the water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto thy master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor. And Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down the pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again under the well to draw the water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camel had done drinking, and the man took a golden earring of half a shekel of weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we see a story laid out to us, Lord, and there's many caricatures in this story, Father, which have significant meaning. We see, Father, that there was 10 camels, which 10 is the end of a cycle, and the camels represent power, as your prophet has taught us. We see that the moment that she watered not only the man, the messenger that came with the message, but she watered the power that would pack her home Lord, not knowing that this is the camel, this is the very power, that woodpecker to her groom. And Father, we see then that the moment she began to water, she was endowed with gifts. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us as we look at this story, Lord, and may it be a living story in this hour for us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I think it's interesting that as soon as she began to water the camels, she began to receive the gifts. And notice the gifts were for her ears and her hands. And look, nothing in the Bible is without signification. In referring to this Bible story, this biblical story, Brother Branham tells us what those jewels signified in a sermon called Time of Decision. He said, she made her decision quick. Watch her real quick in the meeting. Quickly, if they're ordained to eternal life, they'll know it. I read another place where Brother Branham said, a person doesn't sit around and hear the gospel for 20 years and then get quickened. You see? So these people sitting around and there's no birth, and they've been around the message for 20, 30 years, I doubt there'll ever will be a birth. Now, I'm not God to say that that can't happen. But Brother Branham said, watch her real quick in the meeting, quickly. If they're ordained to eternal life, they'll know it. There's something in the message that stirs them. That's what stirred Rebecca. The message stirred her. Angel was leading her. Oh, can't you see the picture? The angel of the Lord leading her. Then she was stirred, and immediately when she watered the camel, the gift went on her. He began to take out the earrings, which means faith cometh by hearing. Put the bracelets on, the works of your hands. He got her ready. As soon as she began to water, give the water of life, testify, tell others, get the message out, tell them what has happened to you. Now, our study tonight is from paragraph 67 through 69 of Brother Branham's sermon, Spoken Word's Original Seed. And I thought this story would be very fitting because we're talking about the watering, the washing of water by the Word. And in paragraph 67, Brother Branham said, a seed must have water to grow. Now, you put a seed in the ground, and if there's no moisture in the ground, it's dust. And it won't grow in the dust. It can't. It's got to have a certain percentage of moisture or it won't grow. Is that right? The letter killeth, the spirit giveth it life. See? Now, it must have moisture to grow. His word is a seed. Now, to prove that, let's turn to Luke, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse, and see if this is true or not. If the Bible says his word is a seed. Luke, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse. And we'll see what God said about it. Now, he goes ahead and he begins to tell us there's much things to say about it. Let's start at the 4th verse and just read on. And when much people were gathered together, and there come unto him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and soon as it sprung up, it withereth away because it lacked moisture. All right? Moisture, he says, paragraph 68. Moisture. Baptists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, without the water. And when he's first converted, he looks right straight to Christ. He believes. And the first thing you know, that denominational binds him up into a place, and the moisture of the Spirit's gone from him. He becomes denominated, and he's dead. Not only Baptists, but Pentecostals. Don't believe that? I know many of you don't. But you just wait a little bit. We'll see whether the Bible states it or not. All right? Of a lack of moisture. Last word in the 6th verse of the 8th chapter. The lack of moisture. And some fell among thorns and sprang up and choked it. See? See what was that? He goes ahead and tells that some as soon as they get to be, I'm not going to pull one punch today on nothing. But what I think the Christian businessmen and the rest of them, of these Pentecostal organizations and these people that's building all these big millions of dollars of things, the riches of the world, has choked out all the glory of the Spirit of God. It's dying because it's choked. The world, cares of the world, has choked them out. Now notice Brother Branham is telling us that in the parable, the reason that they withered is that they lacked moisture. And then he lets us know that moisture represents the Spirit of God. Now we find in the book of Deuteronomy the same thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 2, God says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as a dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon upon the grass. And of course, we know that Jesus taught us that his words were spirit and their truth, John 6:63. So the word of God is the spirit in which he nourishes his predestinated seeds. And we find David speak of this in Psalms. And if you turn with me to Psalm chapter 1, and reading from verse 1, we read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." In other words, he doesn't go to ungodly people for counsel. Doesn't hang around with a bunch of ungodly people. Doesn't get his advice from a bunch of ungodly people. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And let me just say one more thing about that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Anything outside of this revealed word does not come to life. It's ungodly. I don't care if they quote scripture. The devil quoted scripture. It's ungodly. If it doesn't come from this Bible or the vindicated prophet of God, it's ungodly. And they can quote scripture all they want to and show you principles all they want to. And those principles get you into debt. They get you into trouble because they're not Bible principles. The Bible principles are Deuteronomy 28. There's blessing and cursing. All right. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." Now I want you to notice the specifics about this, because the man who's planted by the rivers of water, which is the word of God, well, it says his fruit shall bear in a season, and it says his leaf shall never wither. Never. "But the ungodly are not so." It says the ungodly, they dry up like chaff. "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." Notice, if the leaf is watered, it will not wither away and dry up. Therefore, if there's a drying up, and we're going to look at the attributes of what drying up is, and if there is a drying up in your life, it's because you're not in the Word enough. You're not being washed in the washing of water by the Word. From God identifying himself, Brother Bram said, all of our things in Arizona, our trees is full of stickers. Everything has a sticker. It's because it's dry. Now, if that same bush grew over here, it'd be a nice, lovely leaf. See? It's without water. That's the reason it become a sticker. And when the church becomes without the water of life, it gets dry and sticky too. Sticking and punching at everything. But where the waters of life flows, it opens up the leaf and makes it tender and mellow and sweet and holy and acceptable unto God. So may the Lord God water us tonight, that we won't be stickers, but we'll be fine leaves, that the wayward people might sit down under the tree of our shade and find rest for their soul. Now notice. I want you to notice, because if your nature is got barbs on it, if your nature is always pricking, prickly, finding fault, it's because you're not walking in the Spirit. Oh, you might be religious. You might quote it. You might be legally doing everything perfectly right and still be lost. You've got to be laying in the presence of the sun to ripen. You got to be laying in that water of the washing of water by the Word. From Israel at Kadesh Barnea, Brother Branham said, "You know, I travel around the world a lot. And one of the most stickerest, nastiest places to try to lay down is in the desert. Everything there has got a sticker on it. You know why? Every kind of a little old weed's a cactus. You can't lay down nowhere. It's sticking you. The reason of it is, they ain't got no water. Water makes it soft. Where there's lots of water, you don't have any thorns and thistles. Where there's lots of water. And I tell you, brother, you take an old church that's dry in his bone and no Holy Ghost in it and no salvation, no divine healing, no power of God, no shouting, no joy. It's always this. Oh, she done this. Oh, he done this. He done this. Sticker, sticker, sticker. What you need is a good old-fashioned outpouring gusher of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Soften up a little bit. Amen. That means so be it. Brown Tabernacle needs a good dose of that also. That's right. Oh, is that right? Amen. Oh, I'm having a good time up here. My clothes fit me just exactly right, Brother Higginbotham. Yes, sir, my collar's not too big. My shirt fits, just feels real fine. Even my wife's not here, so I can have just a glorious time. Oh, don't you tell her that, no. All right, but I'm having a good time. You say, you're happy? Sure, I'm happy. How can I keep from being happy and know what I know? Amen. Christ saved me, filled me with the Holy Ghost, give me a ticket to heaven. I'm just having a big time going on saying, come on, all of you, yes, sir. So Brother Branham's letting us know, look, you've got that nature in you that you're just sticking, finding fault, looking at everybody. Women are the worst because women are detailed. You know, so that's why they give women these jobs, you know, in the factories where they're doing things with the hands because they got this good icon, you know, and they just look at each other. Men don't look at man's clothes. Doesn't care less what the man's wearing. Cares what he's wearing here. He doesn't care what you women are wearing, as long as you're not exposing yourself and living immoral. He doesn't care if your colors match. Doesn't care if you have plaids on and you've got polka dots or stripes. Makes no difference. And so you women have to be on guard. You have to be prayed up. That's exactly, and Brother Bram, that's exactly Hebrews 6 as well. So let's turn in our Bible to Hebrews 6, beginning of verse 7. Notice this, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the same full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Now, I want you to notice, he says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But he which beareth thorns, and Brother Bram told us that where do the thorns come from? They come from being dried up. And briars, it's rejected and nigh unto cursing. Now from the seven church ages, Brother Branham said, the sermon preached in 1954, page 49, he says, I get into the desert sometime out there in Arizona, and I notice that every little bush on the desert is harmful. It'll stick you. Every time you get against it, it'll stick you because it doesn't have enough water to take care of it. Stickers come out for a defense. You come back up here or up in Oregon or somewhere where there's rain all the time, and every one of them, same kind of bushes, hasn't got a sticker on them. See? The water keeps them soft. And that's what's the matter with the church. When you get all dried up and shackled up and everything, you get so cold and formal and indifferent, you don't get any spiritual blessing. Then your heart gets all filled up and full of indignation and wrath. And everybody, oh, I'll get even with him. I'll get even with her. I'll quit the church. Just a bunch of stickers living in a desert. What you need is some good old-fashioned Holy Spirit water rained down upon you to soften up your heart, your hard heart. Amen. Now, I'll say one thing. If you got an attitude that's nasty like that toward your brother and sister, you're not going to make a resurrection, much less a rapture. I don't believe it for one second. I believe if we don't have every flue completely opened up, and if we don't have that soft and gentle nature, we're not gonna go in a rapture. You can be as hard as you want. You're going to hell. Or you're staying here for tribulation that'll soften you up. It'll get pretty hot. And don't expect God to do it for you. You better start doing it yourself. The bride hath made herself ready. If you expect God to do it, he's going to do it in a way that you're going to really feel it. I'd rather get a 1x1 than or a 1x2 than a 4x4 any day. And I'm serious. We all need to be in a place where we are daily watering, watering, watering. And the only way that I can think that you can honestly water in this hour is listen to Brother Branham. Listen to that voice every day. As many sermons as you can take in every day and get soft again. Soften your hearts. From the ever-present water, from the rock, Brother Branham said, now we find out that along this road, after they got like this, they came to the place of Horeb. H-O-R-E-B, Horeb. Then we find out, let's break that name down. That's where the name Horeb means a dry place, a desert. And when we get out of fellowship with one another in the church and out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it brings us to a dry place, a desert. Nothing's alive. Everything got stickers on it. See, a desert. A little piece of cactus that will be a sticker on it. Did you know what that is? That's a precious little leaf, tender leaf that hasn't got no water. It's just wound itself up so tight that it's a sticker. And we see somebody like that, maybe it's a precious soul that could have been watered right. Would have been a tender little leaf or something, but instead of that, it's wound itself up into a little sticker, just punching at everything, you know, finding fault. Only thing it needs is just water. That's all. It just needs a revival, a breaking up, a refreshing from the Lord. It'll unfold itself if you'll just put it in the water. I remember my first trip to Arizona. And I went up to a cactus. And I thought, well, I'm just going to kind of rub the bottom of this thing and see, you know, if it's got a, you know, like a little abrasion there or something like that. And it was okay until I got to the very end. And that sticker was so hard that it actually sliced my finger open. Harder than a fish hook. A fish hook would have just stuck. This thing completely tore my finger open. And that was a leaf. It was a leaf. Dried up so tight. Wound up so tight. Just wants to bash everything that comes this way. Just wants to stick to everything that comes this way. When you get that way, brother, sister, get on your face before God. Have a good cry before God. When I find myself out of touch with my Father, I try to come over here. I get away if I can. And I don't get away from Him until I have a good weep and a good cry. Because I know it takes, not to be emotional, not to say it's all in emotion, but brother, sister, if you don't have feeling toward God, we're pretty gone. We're like rocks. And I ask the question, when's the last time that you really wept your eyes out before the Holy Spirit because of what you are? Or what you said about somebody or to somebody. Or about the fact that you haven't pleased Him like you should. When's the last time? From Speak to the Rock, Brother Branham said, carnality had cut off their spiritual supply. Carnality had cut off all their joy. They began murmuring and fussing. They took them off into the desert. If anything I hate is a desert, it's hot, there's nobody hardly can live there, and everything you get against in the desert's got stickers on it. Every kind of little old vine's got stickers on it. You know why? It's because there's no water there. Now, if that same little plant grew up in my country or up in the countries that's got rain on it, that little plant would not be a sticker. That little sticker would unfold, and it would be a nice tender leaf when it comes into a watered place. That's what's the matter with the churches. The reason that they fuss and they quarrel and they stew. And so-called Christians, because they've been bypassed from the land of blessing, from the fountains that never runs dry, from the rock and the weary land, and they have become dry and they've become carnal. They want to stick and say, the days of miracles is past. That's a bunch of holy rollers. No such thing as that. Oh, just let them come to the water one time. It is to unfold and get tender and sweet and kind and humble. Kind and humble. If you're not kind and humble, you're stickery. Something takes place when you put Him in the water. I don't know why, but it happens that way. Oh, carnality had cut them off. From the planting of the vine and where to plant it. Brother Branham said, and go with me to Arizona. Let me take you to the desert, which I roamed so many years. Everything in the desert has got a sticker on it. Any little plant you come to, don't get near it. It'll stick you. It's always got its stickers right out ready to stick anything that comes near it. What's the matter? What made it a sticker? It's because it had no water. What's dried it up? The sticker is a leaf rolled up. But for the lack of water, it becomes a sticker. Thus, it is with the church today. That when the church gets away from the fountain of life, when it gets away from the joys of salvation, when it gets away from the Lord God, then that person becomes a sticker, always finding fault and sticking. Don't you? Me come up? I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Methodist. I'm so-and-so. Don't talk to me about that stuff. A sticker has no fruits. You take that same plant, cactus, and put it into the land for a few generations where there's plenty of water, and that sticker will unfold and will come a soft leaf bearing fruit. Now, it doesn't matter if you're right in your doctrine, if you're wrong in your spirit. If you're not watered, if you're not soft, gentle, lovable, there's something wrong. Everybody wants to be like Brother Branham, but they're not willing to go through the pain and suffering to do it. And the amount of prayer. Every morning Jesus got up and went away to be by himself to pray. Brother Branham got up. He took his hunting rifle with him, but he didn't go hunting. He said he actually just laid it up against a tree and sat down and prayed. All the righteous men, George Washington, every morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, got up, spent an hour in prayer and reading his Bible. We've got the greatest message that ever hit the earth. How much time do we spend in it every day? That's why the church of the living God is at each other's throat. And I don't say here, because I think we have a pretty good group of people. But I do see it, even amongst those who claim to believe the doctrine correctly. I see a judgmental spirit. I see people that need to be soft, lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. From he has to pass this way, Brother Branham said, now it's good to be in Tacoma. Tacoma's always had a place in my heart somehow. I don't know why. I don't know, but it's always been a real warm spot for Tacoma. And this northwest country here, beautiful. Your trees and your lots of water. Down in the desert in Phoenix not long ago, I was out in the desert, and everything there that you touch has got a sticker on it. And you touch anything, it's just lazy. It won't move. It's got a sticker on it. Well, that same type of plant will be brought up here, and it will become a leaf because it gets water. And that's what I think about our churches. Many of them we think are cold, formal, indifferent, but they're just run out of spiritual water. All they need is a little water to soften them up, and they'll come out into a lovely leaf for the shade. And God's got plenty of it, and you don't have to drink sparingly. He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. And from Painted Face Jezebel, he said, you take any kind of plant and put it in the desert where there's no water, it gets a sticker on it. And you take that same plant and put it where there's lots of water, it gets soft. Why is it? It's because it's dry. And that's what's the matter with the churches today. They're fussing. Glory to God, I'm a Baptist. Hallelujah, I'm a Presbyterian. I'll tell you what, we have the best selection of pastors. Yes, sir, we don't have to take your old Pentecostal theology. I tell you, I belong to the assemblies. That's who I am. We're as great as the rest of them. I belong to the United. I belong to this or that or the other. Oh, I see your stickers. Your water supply is gone. That's what's the matter. That's just what's the matter. The water's been cut off. You don't have the things that you used to have years ago. The miracles and things are not in the church. The feeling, the fellowship, not in the church like it used to be. What's the matter? The glory spring that led you to Hallelujah Garden was cut off. What did it? Sin. Sin getting in the church and getting in you is what did it, because the weakness of the pulpit to keep the lines unstopped. That's right. Amen. That's the truth. It might seem awful crude, but it's the truth. And if you don't stop and call an old-fashioned prayer meeting and get back to God, what will you be in 10 years from now? Somebody better raise up and go to preaching this thing and get this thing out of the church. It's a cancer and it's eating to the bone. Get it out. God send evangelists who will stand on the word and preach the word when you see that thing going on, and then let it go on like that. And from making the valley full of ditches, Brother Ram said, now notice, that's the reason out in the desert, everything you come in contact in the desert's got stickers to it. I don't care if it's a little old leaf or whatever it is, don't fool with it because it's got a sticker on it. You know what does that? It's because it ain't got no water. Where there's no water, it gets stickers. Where there's water, that same plant will soften up and make leaves. And that's what's the matter with the church. The reason there's so much fussing. I'm a oneness. I'm assembly. I'm this. I'm that. Oh, I belong to the church of God. We got the group. Them's a buzzard roost over there. This is that, and this is the other, and we don't believe in that, and we believe in dancing this way, and we believe in fixing to do this, and liberation of you women, and oh, I do this, and oh my. What's the matter? Your water supply is cut off. That's right, it's the truth. So we found out they was without water, and when you're without water, you're without life. So then they said, what can we do about it? We'll start a prayer meeting. You ought to have prayed before you left. That's what you, before you, you ought to pray over it. That's what I would like to see in this church. When you come here, 20 to 30 minutes before service starts, get on your knees. When you go to bed at night, let's not just lay in bed and pray. Let's get on our knees, pray before we go to bed. When we get up in the morning, let's get on our knees. Let's start being real Christians instead of lazy Laodicean Christians. Let's put a little effort into our worship and our fellowship with God. From Jude chapter 1 verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. Now why would they do that? Well, now why would they speak evil of things they know not? Because they're all stickered up. Without water. Without spirit, as we'll see in just a moment. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Well, what was the way of Cain? He didn't have a revelation. He had religion. He did sacrifice. He believed in God, but no revelation. And when he was told what to do right, he rejected God's way, the doctrine of Christ. And notice, they also ran greedily. In other words, they ran after money. And they were focused on money, 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 money. And not on the pillar of fire in the midst of the people, just like Balaam was. And they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. And they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. What was the gainsaying of Korah? Popularity. Money, women, popularity. Korah wanted to be popular. He said, why should Moses? He's not the only spiritual one. We're just as religious as he is. You see? We're just as spiritual as he is. No, you're not. These are clouds, or they're spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Notice, clouds without water. Clouds without water. What, they're clouds without water? Notice, they don't have water. That's why they're stickery. It says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. Why? Because they're clouds without water. No water. No Holy Ghost baptism. No laying in the presence of the sun to ripen. No getting soft and tender before God in our prayer. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. Clouds. Notice, clouds. Paul said we are clouds of witnesses. There could be many clouds of witnesses. Clouds represents witnesses. These are witnesses without doctrine. Because a cloud without water, and God said, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. These are clouds without rain, clouds with no doctrine. Witnesses with no doctrine. Carried about of winds, carried about of all sorts of false doctrines. They're trees. Remember Psalm 1. We are likened unto trees, but these are trees whose fruit withereth. Why? Because no washing of water. No laying in the presence of the sun. No ripening. No getting soft in the spirit. Remember the spirit-filled man in Psalm 1. His fruit never withers. because he's planted by the river of life, the life stream of God, his word. But these are all dried up, and so is their fruit. Their doctrine is of another age and all dried out. And in fact, they are without fruit, it says. Many without the teaching of the hour, so they have no doctrine. And that makes them twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame. Notice, not pure water. Pure water doesn't foam. Just polluted water foams and spews out its pollution as they roar about. Wandering stars, always wondering about this, wondering about that. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? No light, just darkness. Why? Because no spirit. Now the people of this generation are without excuse because they have more of this message sitting on their libraries, sitting on their shelves, and they're not doing anything with it. They have shut off the voice of God to themselves. When all it takes is pushing a little button, and you could have that playing 24/7 in your home, creating an atmosphere in your home of godliness and decency. I'm not saying you have to run it 24/7. I'm just saying you need to create an atmosphere in your home. But Rebekah, the true God-ordained bride of the promised son, notice she watered the very power that would pack her home to be with her groom. And she went to meet him. Where? In the tent. Oh yeah. Had she not watered that power, she would have not made it to the tent. I hope you're catching my 21st century drift. From Uncertain Sound, Brother Bram said, like Rebekah, who watered the camel, the very camel that she watered, she rode it on it to meet her groom. The very God that we preach about, the very Word, which is God, the very God that's in the Word, will rise us up someday by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and our critics will be killed by the same power that raises you to glory. Oh my, rise up and ride on. Ride on it. From time of decision, Brother Bram said, and so she watered the camel, the animal, the power that was to take her home, to her new home. And another thing, did you notice? When she went over now, being blood relation, just by faith, she believed it. Only thing she had was a servant's message. That's all that maybe you got is my message. See the parallel Brother Bram's laying out here? I want to be a true servant of God. The blessings are for you. They're yours. I know it's not popular, but I don't care about popularity. I want to be honest to my master as Eliezer was. I want a clean-cut decision out of you, like Eliezer. Come out and tell me whether you believe it or not. See? I want a clean-cut decision. A true servant requires that. If you do, then act like it. See? Go on. Put it into action. Come on. Or say, come and go along. How do you put it into action? Brother Bram said, how do you apply the token? How do you apply the token? He said, clean up your house. He said, get all the newspapers, all the magazines, the filthy magazines. He said, all the televisions, get them out of your house. That's how you apply it. Why are we not a denomination? Paragraph 29, did you notice Rebekah when Eliezer found her? It was in the evening time. And she watered the camel. Because Eliezer said, if the damsel that comes and waters this camel and gives me drink, a drink that will be the one that you have chosen, Lord, to be the bride of your servant Isaac. And while he was yet in prayer, Rebekah came and drawed water and gave him drink and watered the camel. Notice the camel was a beast, and that same beast that she was watering was the one who packed her home to her groom, Isaac. From earnestly contending for the faith, he said, and beautiful Rebekah came out, and he said, now, ever who waters this camel, he said, Lord, let that be the one you've chosen. And Rebekah went and watered the camel and gave them a drink, and then watered the animal. Look, the very animal that she was watering, the animal represents a beast of burden. Beast, of course, a beast of burden, which means power in the Bible. And the very animal that she was watering was the very animal that packed her to see her groom. Is that right? And what is watering? The very power that we're watering now with praises and thanksgiving and glory and power and might is the very Holy Spirit that'll pack us up to see Jesus someday. Are we giving him praise? Are we giving him glory? Are we giving him thanksgiving? Are we doing these things? Are we watering the one who's going to pack us home? From questions and answers, conduct, and doctrine, Brother Branham said in 1 Corinthians 14:29, we find out that the gift in the church has got to be judged first. See, you have to watch because evil spirits slip in. Because remember, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The same rain that was sent to ripen the wheat also ripens the weed. The same water. How many knows that? Now, that ought to clear the serpent seed to you then. How that this son come. I'm trying to pick it out here to get it before my time runs out, but I can't find it. So, how that son was about the serpent seed. See, God has a law. Now, in this law of the spirit of life, you have to watch because Satan slips in. And Paul, when something was revealed to somebody, it had to have at least two or three judges before it could be told before the church. Now, why do I bring that up? Because I want you to notice something. He said the very same rain that brings into manifestation sons and daughters of God is the very same rain that brings into manifestation the serpent seed. The same water. I've seen time and time again. You can't sit under true teaching and not ripen into what you were ordained to be. We find people coming into the presence and the Godhead, and within a short time, watch out. Either they will show themselves to be the spotless virgin-born bride of Christ, or they will show themselves to be evil and treacherous. You can't hide yourself from the light. And it is a light which makes manifest, according to Ephesians 5:13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, we have found time after time in our studies that it takes light and water to bring forth life. The light sparks the life, but the water nourishes and builds it up. The very first time God spoke, he brought forth light. That was his gift spark to the seeds. Then the second time he spoke, he brought forth water. And then the third time he brought forth life itself. In Genesis 1 verse 3 we read, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, now this is the third time he speaks. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and tree, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So God brings forth light. He says, let there be light. Then he says, let there be water. Let the waters divide from the waters above, from the waters from below. Getting it ready so that when he brings forth life, it can not only manifest, but it can maintain. Now from choosing of a bride, Brother Branham said, now just a moment now. That's it. He chooses a bride to reflect his character, to which the modern churches of today certainly misses his program here a million miles because they deny this to be the truth. So how could it be? Now he's looking for the day for that bride to be formed, Hebrews 13:8, just exactly like he was. It's got to be his same flesh, same bones, same spirit, same everything, just exactly built up. And them two then becomes one. Until the church becomes that, they're not one. The character of him, the word for this age, must be molded. She must be molded like he is. And the only way you can do it is get washed in the washing of water by the word. Submerse yourself into the word daily. Now we know the world is falling apart. We know the economy is falling apart. We know that it's got to be only a very short time, and well, we could already be in the squeeze if we aren't already. We don't know how long the squeeze will last. 1 year, 2 years could last till this spring. We've now entered the springtime. Brother Branham said that the resurrection would take place in the springtime. We know the season for it. We don't know when the actual catching away will take place, but we do know there will be a period of time during the time of the resurrection that will be assembling together with the saints that have gone on before us. But when that begins to happen, it's too late to change who you are. Him that's filthy will be filthy still. Him that's righteous will be righteous still. Get right now. Please. I'm begging you. Change your attitudes. In the homes, especially. Around the church. Wherever you're at. Change your attitudes. Don't say anything to pick at somebody. Pray for that person. Brother Branham said, if you don't have something good to say, don't say nothing at all. Say nothing at all. If you can't say something good, don't say anything. Can we try that? We need to cut off the gossiping ear. We need to make an effort not to get on the phone, not to talk. If you don't like something about somebody, pray about that person. And I'm not saying we're having trouble within our ranks here, but I do know it's human nature. And I can look out, and I can see it everywhere. And I can see where churches that should be so very, very spiritual are very, very carnal. Dried up. Dead men's bones. We are to be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit. By one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Oh, we sit back on the sides and, oh, go, yay, Jesus, go, 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 Jesus. What about you? You're supposed to be Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, Brother Branham said that the dove will not light upon anything but a lamb. And if we don't have that lamb nature, which is self-sacrificial nature, then we're not born again. Because the nature of God is supposed to be greater than the nature of your own flesh. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So I think it's time that the bride everywhere begins to get on their hands and their knees and cry out to God to change them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you because we know that you are here. We need a revival, Father. We need your spirit to sweep out upon us, to make us conscious of our human frailties, to make us conscious, Fathers, so that we might make ourselves little that you might be great. Make ourselves humble that you might not have to humble us. And we ask, Father, for that sweet spirit that has been ordained to come into the church, we ask that it might manifest itself in us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, Make Me a Spirit. Make Me a Servant. Number 177. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant.
servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today.
And number 110, change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter,
number 84, I love you, Lord. Change my heart, O God. One more time now.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice.
joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet song in your ear.
One more time, please.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what
you all.